Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Nothing bigger, arguably, than this week than the decision of the American Academy of Pediatrics to say, going back to school, everyone should be wearing masks. Students, support staff, kids, all ages. And joining us is someone with a bird's eye view of that. Dr. Christina Master, MD, is the co-chair of the Pennsylvania chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics School Health Committee. And she's a sports medicine physician in Philadelphia. Joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Christina, welcome in. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dom. You can just call me Tina. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a real honor.
Well, thank you, Tina, very much. So are you a sports doc for children when it comes to sports medicine?
Yes, I am. It's a really awesome job. So I am trained to take care of adults as well, but I focus primarily on kids. And my research interest is actually concussion, but sports medicine, as you can imagine, with kids is a great field to be in.
I'm sure you're telling them don't play one sport and overtrain your body, right, and get broken down. It's because maybe we can agree on that one. Is that something that comes up a lot? Repetitive sports injury type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The best athletes are good all-around athletes who train and play a variety of sports. I actually always talk about how the best athletes probably play multiple sports, and that's what makes you successful at one. And so from that standpoint, being a good all-around athlete is really your goal, and that'll get you where you want to go.
I couldn't agree more. Now, let's talk about what came down from the AAP and then the repercussions of it. Why now? What kind of study? Because the CDC at this point still, we don't know what they're going to say, but at that point said, hey, you're vaccinated. Most teachers were around 90% or more. And kids that were vaccinated, you wouldn't have to wear a mask in school starting back. What changed? I didn't see anything.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think, you know, definitely what you've hit on is the fact that what we've been in for the last year and a half has been a really very fluid situation. Definitely what the American Academy of Pediatrics put out really isn't contradicting the CDC. It's really expanding upon it. And what I want to definitely highlight is what the AAP and the Pennsylvania AAP chapter is all about is really the kids. You know, so what we care most about is making sure that our kids are safe, that essentially one child lost to COVID is one too many. And so the recommendation for masking is really reflecting the fact that all of our kids 12 and under aren't able to get the vaccine, so they're still at risk for getting the disease. And from that standpoint, masking is a really straightforward, simple way of ensuring that we don't have any unnecessary risks that are incurred by our kids who are the youngest and most vulnerable in our group.
Okay, I would take the other side of it. Of course, one child's death, but that we base things, and you know this because you do when you give advice to parents, we base it on risk. Isn't there a downside, or does the American Academy of Pediatrics think it's overblown when it comes to lack of learning, lack of social skills that are developed with all this masking, and a feeling of kids going back of depression, here we go again all day to wear a mask?
I totally hear what you're saying. And I have to tell you, Dom, I don't think that there's any one of us in pediatrics who wouldn't love to be able to not have to worry about COVID or wearing masks. I think that the one thing that I would emphasize about this recommendation is that the goal really is 100% to get our kids back in school, in person, doing their activities right. and their learning and being with their friends.
But Tina, let me cut to the chase, though. Are you on a side that says, because of one potential death, and I'm not minimizing that, that we have to suffer these other ills? Or are the pediatricians group, and maybe you personally, well, I'll give you what bothers me. Now, you're much different. You said you came on, call me Tina and all that. We engage on something. One of the spokespeople said, and I'm paraphrasing, for your group, the national group, well, it's not like we're asking people to go into the trenches, minimizing that this is more than just a slight inconvenience, particularly with very young kids, to keep a mask on all day.
I totally hear you. I know it's not easy, and I know it's definitely a lot to ask. I think that the one thing that we would still emphasize is that this is, relatively speaking, one of the things that actually has a really big impact. So it's a small action that has a big impact. And, you know, I also, besides being a sports medicine pediatrician and also a general pediatrician still also, so I take care of general kids in my practice too, and I've been doing that now for I think I'm going into my 29th year in Philadelphia, so I love taking care of kids. I know how hard it is and how hard it is for parents of young kids this last year. And so what we would say is that, you know, it is something that we know is something that we're asking, that's an extra mile for someone to go. We think that it's something that will make a huge difference. I don't know if you noticed this year. I mean, there was a lot less other illnesses going around because of masking. So that was an interesting side effect of everybody masking, that we didn't really see the other illnesses going around as well.
But Tina, with all due respect, though, you haven't fully addressed to me here, you've acknowledged that there are problems with this, but you think those problems are relatively minimal. In other words, there are people out there talking about this whole masking thing and how it leads to more social ills, including depression and suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. I could argue lives are lost if you're going back into that mentality. It's not just itchy and an inconvenience. Do the studies not?
Yeah, you know, I think that's very interesting because, again, what I would say is that I don't think I haven't read any, you know, evidence or research that has indicated that wearing a mask increases depression. I know that having kids out of school absolutely mm-hmm. contributed to mental yes. health issues in the last year. I think that getting them back into school, but with a mask, is a really, really reasonable way of making sure that they're safe and they're able to be in school and doing the things that they should be doing, you know, with their friends, with their peers, in school, in activities. And so we would say that mask is really just a 100% easy way to ensure that they're protected. They're protecting themselves, they're protecting others, and from that standpoint, that they're able to do the things that, you know, they want to be and we want them to be doing in school.
Tina, let's ask about incentives towards vaccination with teenagers. Mm-hmm. I know there's the incentive of you're not going to be hospitalized, the incentive of you're not going to die. It's the odds are incredible. But isn't this chipping away, because we're at a fragile point here, and you'll have people that will say, look, I got vaccinated, I shouldn't have to wear the mask then. What do you say to that? It does chip away. People are not sitting there in a laboratory making the decision on this. So what do you say to those who got their kids vaccinated?
Yeah, no, and you know, you're asking a great question, because I can tell you what I do say, because you know, pediatric patients, I get this question all the time in the office. And I think parents are really doing their best in terms of trying to get the right information and make the best decision for their children. And so I really appreciate that. And I think from that standpoint, what I would say is that this vaccine, you know, was really so unbelievably quick, how quickly we got it. So science has really been our friend on that front. And then the one thing that I would remind people, though, is that, you know, nothing is 100% in life. Like, I mean, how often do we say that as parents to our kids, right? Nothing is 100%. And so from that standpoint, you know, even most, you know, highest efficacy that we've seen with the vaccine, you know, being around 95%, there's still 5% of those who are vaccinated who can get the disease. Definitely, they have less significant disease, but they can also transmit it, you know, although they lower risk of transmitting it than if they weren't vaccinated. So just like you're saying, you're right. The vaccines made a big difference. They're definitely better off and safer for sure. But there is still a small risk. And we're just trying to like get as far as we can in terms of getting this under control. Because I would just say that we're not out of the woods yet. You know, for everybody that has to kind of like reach back into our, you know, biology classes, you know, because it's been a long time since I did any virology classes, you know, viruses mutate at a really crazy rate, right? And we're seeing that right now all around the world. All these variants, all these mutations, and that's just what they do, right? And so if we don't really do something to really try and tamp it down and get rid of it so that it just doesn't, to eradicate it essentially, so it's not circulating at all, we're always going to have this risk of essentially a variant that's going to be what we would call, quote unquote, escaping our measures, you know, of vaccination or other things that we'll do. And so masking actually ends up being one of those sort of like universal protective measures that no matter what the variant is, it's going to give you protection for that. You know, whether you're vaccinated, it'll cover right. you that extra 5%, you know, and so all those things. And so we still think that it is a benefit. We think it's worth the burden that it is for our kids, for the ones that are at risk. And we're really all about just wanting to make sure that our kids are safe, but that they're also hopefully getting back in person into the school setting so they can have as normal as we can possibly get to this fall
okay.
with the virus still circulating.
Parting question for you. We bring on a guy, Dr. Dr. Joseph Valentina. He's the associate professor, director of healthy buildings at Harvard. He wrote in the Washington Post the last couple of days that nothing has changed here since the CDC told vaccinated people they didn't have to wear a mask indoors. There's no new data showing the vaccines don't work. Again, so we're not bringing people on that are not at the highest level of credentialing. Could it be that, is it fair to say, and this would be tough because you're a spokesperson of sorts for the, for this organization, that this is a worldview that's built into this rather than the data? In other words, what you've expressed to me today sounds reasonable, but it's a worldview toward the most minimal part of what may happen here versus what I know to be very more than inconvenient things on the other side. What do you make of it that a guy like this at Harvard has routinely said this, and this is written in the Washington Post? These aren't people weaponizing the virus with a political point of view. I don't see the data is the bottom line as much as it's a worldview that's baked into this.
Yeah, no. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, you are 100% correct that everybody comes to the table with, you know, a worldview or a lens that they view the world through that makes it, you know, that helps them make their way around the world and make decisions, you know, in terms of how they're going to live, act, behave, the opinions that they hold. And I think we would just get back to, you know, again, 100% what we are about as pediatricians is trying to get to that point where we can keep every child safe. You know, and I think from that standpoint, that's really what we're going for here, that it is possible, it's achievable, and we'd like to do that. And so I think from that standpoint, you know, the professor that you quoted from Harvard is right to a degree that essentially there isn't new data that's changing this. It is how you look at it and it's how you do it. And every parent does have to like look at all the information and make their own decision. And, you know, last I checked, it's still a free country, so they can do that. But I just want to make sure that everybody has the information and understands why we're making the recommendation. And it's not because we're trying to be a pain in the rear. And it's not because we don't want to be wearing masks. I mean, we'd love it if we didn't have to wear masks, right? We're doing it because we care 100% about every single child. And we think that this is a way that we can actually protect all of them and move forward. And so I would really encourage parents to talk to their pediatrician about it, check in with them, get your kids in there for your checkup before school starts, have a conversation with them. They know you, they know your patient, your kid really well, and they can help you make that decision. They can make sure they're you're up to date with all of your current vaccinations. Okay. And I would just say have that conversation because, you know, they're right. But I think from that standpoint, our worldview is that we care about kids and we're not, you know, we're not going to shy away from that. You know, that's an important thing to us. That's why we chose this as our life's calling. And we're going to keep pushing to make sure our kids are as safe as they can possibly be and get them back in school this fall.
Well, Dr. Tina, thank you. Please come back. I'm sure there's other issues.
I would love
to talk about.
I would love to come back.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Dr.
Thanks
Tina Master here, the American Academy of Pediatrics. All right, well, it does come down to that, and I just think It's not going to be risk-free. There is some possibility. Dan, what did you take away?
Yeah, no, I thought it was – I learned a lot as to how they came to their decision. I still don't necessarily agree with said decision, but I do appreciate the understanding, I guess, as to how it happened, you know.
Yeah, okay, well, I'd love to get a reaction here. Look, we're not going to always bring on people that we agree, but it's going to be civil. I hate to use that word. It's kind of tarnished. And give and take –
decency.
Do we have a cut of the Dean of Decency today calling Kevin McCarthy sniveling? That doesn't seem very decent. Dean of Decency able to call people sniveling? I don't know what the insufferable is, the first adjective that comes to mind for this woman. 855-839-1210.
I think I just triggered you. That was great.
It did. Yeah, I was ready with that. Thanks to Dr. Tina and Dan getting Dr. Tina on. And we'd love to get your response.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.